Hello and welcome to the Spinner Queen Spotlight. I'm your host, Anjali Patel. This is the podcast where we talk about all things internal and external cleaning, including top tips for your business, life in general, and so much more. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Spinner Queen Spotlight. Today I've got with me Paul Hickmar. Say hi, Paul.
Hello, everybody.
Do you want to introduce yourself a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So Paul Hickmar's the name. The business is PH Exterior Cleaning Services. Before that, I used to run a printing business in Northampton. And printing, the industry is quite a stressful industry, to be honest, because you have to invest in big equipment and technology is always changing. So I just got to a point where printing lost its joy for me.
When you say printing, was it posters or t-shirts and things or everything?
A large format, so onto Foamex and putting up on walls and displays.
Ah, okay, so kind of exhibition stuff.
And yeah, like that. And bigger stuff. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, for cash and carries, you put these big displays up and stuff like that. So that was fine, but it was getting stressful. So I sold up my shares.
Yep.
And I rang my friend of mine, Ashley McIntosh, which a load of people will know because he's out there. And Ashley and I have known each other for years. And I said, Ashley, can I come and do a couple of days a week with you and learn the trade? Because to be quite honest, it had always appealed to me working outside.
Yeah, okay.
And Ashley said, sure. So I did 2 days a week with Ashley. This was in the September, October, November of 2019.
Okay, so not that long ago, really.
No, it's not really. It's 5 years.
I thought you'd been doing it for like years and years.
No, that's just the way I look.
I never said that.
You don't have to. I did.
In your business, what kind of services do you offer now?
Okay, so back then it was just window cleaning, and then I developed it into patios, driveways, so flat surface cleaning.
Okay.
And obviously doing conservatories and then gutter clearing. And that's where I got to know Spinner Clean, because obviously you're local to me and I bought my equipment from you guys.
Right, yeah.
And then we did a couple of roofs in terms of scraping, and started developing that skill set a lot more in terms of the roofing side of things.
Do you think you enjoy this more now than what you were doing before?
Oh, massively.
Yeah.
Absolutely massively. It's absolutely great being out and about working. I just love all of that. And even on a wet, rainy day.
Yeah. What about if it's cold? I can't think of anything worse than working outside.
No, I mean, a lot of people will agree with me. Sometimes you'll get up and you'll look out and it's pouring down with rain. But if you're doing water-fed pole cleaning, window cleaning, that shouldn't really be an issue because the windows are going to get wet anyway.
Yeah.
You're just cleaning them. And so I like to, I'll put all my wets on, go out and get stuck in.
Okay, we're very different.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Good job we didn't do this on a Monday morning.
Yeah, you would have had a very different Anjali. Grumpy, not as cheery. Especially when it was raining yesterday.
That's true.
So for someone who wants to maybe start a business, how did you start yours and what advice could people take from that?
Okay, there are, in my mind, going into exterior cleaning, there are two typical ways of doing it.
Yeah.
You either go in with not a lot of money, in which case you will get some basic equipment and run it out of the back of your car with a tank of pure water and fill up from a local centre or process your own water at home.
Yeah.
And then gradually build up your business and your services as you buy more equipment.
Okay.
And if you're going to do that, then that can take a number of years because you have to keep reinvesting your revenue back into your business.
Yeah.
The one positive thing about our industry is that you should never be short of work. There's loads of work out there, so you know that that will just keep coming in. The other way is that, and people come into this industry because maybe they've been made redundant, maybe they've just left and sold their business and they want to change like me, and you have a little bit of money to invest.
Yeah.
And that was the situation I found myself in. So I started in the September of 2019, and in the December I bought a small window cleaning round.
Yeah.
Little van with a tank in the back, and I found myself in December out there looking after my customers.
Okay. It was lovely. That's quite a cold time of the month as well, so I'm surprised you got quite a lot of customers, because I feel like people only want stuff like that done During the summer as well.
You know, initially that's what I thought.
Yeah.
I actually thought, oh dear, I'm new as well, face to it all. They're all going to say no. But no, that wasn't the case. They were all there for it.
Yeah.
And just got on with it and started getting to know everyone. And that was really nice because you actually get to know your customer base.
Yes. What was your biggest fear about starting this business then?
That's a good question. Biggest fear. I think it was learning how to do all of these new particular jobs. Yeah. Like I picked up a large commercial job where I used to clean inside and out.
Yeah.
And these massive window frames on the inside. And I'm thinking, well, I can't waterfed pole those. I'll flood the office. What do I do?
Yeah.
And so it was having to learn new techniques.
Yeah.
And for me, and this is something I'd say to everyone out there, if you're starting in the business, when you come in at night, go straight on YouTube, type in your questions and watch a video on it, because you'll get all your answers and it'll give you the confidence the next day to go out and get on with it. Someone asks you, can you do this? Say yes, go home, YouTube it, and now you know what to do for tomorrow.
What was the main thing that you were excited for then?
To begin with, it was window cleaning and did the patios and the driveways, and then the roof side started to develop roof cleaning. And then I realised I really enjoy roof cleaning.
Okay.
How weird is that? You know, at the time I started, I was 55. I'm 60 now. And you think you got a 60-year-old up a scaffold doing roof work. This is dangerous.
You don't look 60.
Oh, you're trying to get some ground now, aren't you?
I made up for my comments before.
That's so funny. Yeah, so I actually thought I really enjoy the roof cleaning.
Yeah.
And so at some point in that 4.5 year period, actually it was last year, I sold the majority of my window cleaning customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really just focused on roof cleaning.
Yeah.
So I did learn all in my mind a number of different skills in terms of roof cleaning, such as there's scraping, there's soft washing of roofs, there's steam cleaning, there's pressure washing with flat surface cleaners or turbos on the end of poles. So I learned all the different ways so that when I went to look at a job, I could actually say what's best for this roof rather than this is the way I do it.
So does it give the customers an option or then they can decide as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can go along and look at a roof and think, actually, this has just got black algae on it. There's no moss or lichen or anything. It's just black. And they want an aesthetic finish. So that's an ideal soft wash clean on that one. There's nothing really, you know, and you can say to them, do you want this immediate? And if they want an immediate finish, you might use a flat surface cleaner or you might use sodium hypochlorite to just change the colour of it and give them what they want. That's where, for me, the site visit comes in, because I don't like to do things just over Google. You know, have a look at a roof on Google and give someone a price. I always like to go and visit it so that I can see what the access is like for the scaffolding and what will be the best approach to it.
When you say on Google, what do you mean?
Google Maps.
Oh, so you actually look at the pictures of their houses already and see what it's like.
Yeah, that's it. So you can have a look and get a sense of it. But I will always do that site visit. So if I just do the Google Maps, it gives me a feel for it and I know what to expect when I get there.
So you're not in for any nasty surprises.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Have you ever turned up somewhere and it's completely different to the image that you've seen?
Yeah, because Google Maps has given me the wrong house.
Oh, no. Yeah. So not completely reliable then.
No, that's why a site visit is really good sometimes.
Yeah. If you were to offer any more services now, what would be something that you want to look into?
I think I'm at a point at 60 where I don't want to grow my business anymore.
Yeah.
I know other people will want to at that age, and that's absolutely fine. But I want to start to create more of a soft landing for myself to spend more time with my wife.
Oh,
lovely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So that's obviously where I'm now trying to change my involvement in the business.
Yeah.
Spend less time running around doing external cleaning and specialise a little bit more.
You've just joined us at Spinnaclean recently.
Yes.
How are you finding that?
Oh, I love it. It's everyone here is very, very friendly and happy. And everyone's the big thing that comes over to me, always has done with Spinnaclean, is the customer service side of things. You know, if there's an issue, people deal with it immediately.
Yeah.
And I'm working here now 3 days a week. Yeah. I certainly see that.
Yeah.
And it's nice then.
Yeah, that is nice. What's your favourite thing so far about working here?
Oh, okay. Let me think.
Oh, favourite thing. Put you on the spot.
Everyone's actually just genuinely happy.
Yeah.
So I love all of that.
Yeah.
Everyone gets on. But also in terms of the product, I know that it is a very, very good product.
Yeah.
My background in the past has always been sales.
Okay.
But I have never liked to be in a sales environment where I'm selling something that I'm not either confident in.
Yeah.
Or it's a bit unreal.
Yeah.
So knowing that this product is absolute quality, it's dead easy to talk in a positive way to large distributors or resellers of the equipment, which is one of the objectives that I have.
What is your main role here now?
So I'm involved in speaking to very large companies, national and some international accounts, and trying to put in place a strategic supply arrangement so we can actually supply multiple sites through the agreements of a head office.
Okay.
So, it sounds that, but it's nothing.
Yeah,
it's not,
sounds quite fancy.
No, it really is. It's just speaking to someone in an office and letting them see that the quality of the product is what it should be, and that if they get their head office behind the product, then they can recommend it out to the branches, etc.
Okay. How are you finding mixing SpinnerClean in with your own business as well then? Are you managing that okay?
Really hard, actually.
Really hard?
Well, I've only been here... What, is it a month? No, actually, I've probably done 15 days here.
Okay. Right? Oh, yeah, in total. Okay.
Yeah, that's it, because it's a certain number of days a week.
Yeah.
And doing mine. And what we're trying to do is run the two together.
Yeah.
To make sure that it works for everybody.
Yeah.
And then if it does, then my business, I will look at sort of more wrapping it up, really.
Yeah.
So I can just focus on this. But we just want to make sure that that works for everyone. So from that perspective, I'm sort of running two businesses.
Yeah, you're a hardworking guy.
No, I'm a worn out guy.
He's tired, he needs a nap.
An old codger.
This is all you. I'm not said that.
That's so funny. Yeah. No, so that's where I'm up to at the moment.
Yeah.
Loving it still, but it's just lots of juggling. And, we're in, what are we? It's April now.
Yeah.
So this is silly season in terms of the workflow. There's tons of work coming in and it's just keeping on top of it.
So you've still got loads of customers wanting you to help them out.
Yeah. And everyone in the external cleaning industry will be in the same situation as me. They'll be getting phone calls left, right and centre now and just rolling their sleeves up and getting stuck in. We're all doing it, aren't we?
It must be because you're such a friendly person, Paul.
No, I think it's everyone in the exterior cleaning. I promise you, it's everyone in the exterior cleaning.
When me and Paul go out, you talk to absolutely anyone. Someone will just be walking past in the street and you're having a conversation.
But that the last time we did it was that guy from America, wasn't it? And we just had a nice chat with him.
I was just like, I didn't know what to say to him either.
Oh dear,
that's funny. So obviously you've been working throughout your whole life. What were you doing before you started the printing business?
I've always been in sales prior to that.
Yeah.
So when I first started out as early 20s, so to speak, I was a sales representative up in Manchester selling stationery.
Oh, in Manchester.
Up in Manchester. Nice. Yeah, that's where I met my beautiful wife.
Oh.
We'll just put her name is gorgeous, otherwise called Linda. But let's
shout out to Linda.
Linda.
Love you, Linda.
So it was up in Manchester doing that. And then I just ended up in that company as the national sales director there. So that was for national accounts.
Yeah.
And I'd been there about, I think it was about 13 years and just wanted a change.
Yeah.
So I started work for another company called Iron Mountain.
Yeah.
And doing some as their sales director for the storage of magnetic media, that side of it. Then I moved locally into a same sort of role in another company in Northampton, which is where I live. And then I then moved into the printing thing and did sort of 12 years there. Now I'm on this phase. And this is the phase, being at 60, I just want to really enjoy this, have great fun.
Yeah.
And there you go.
That's what it's about. You don't want to work all your life, I suppose. You want to enjoy it after a while.
Absolutely. Yeah. And if you, every time you go out, if you can have a laugh with your customers, and that is absolutely brilliant.
Have you got any big plans that you do want to do?
So I want to go travelling, of course. Linda yeah. and I, we did Rajasthan and we really enjoyed that. So we'll go back to India because Linda's sister's out there. So we'll spend some time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And there's a lot of family in Australia. So we'll go out. Yeah. We did that in December and we'll go back again. So things like that, which will be really nice.
God, Australia. Was there a lot of spiders there?
Lots of beetles.
I would love to go to Australia, but I'm terrified of spiders.
Seriously?
Yeah. If I see a tiny one in my flat, it's game over for me.
Oh, okay. Well, Australia, if you go into the bush, we'll get a picture of Anjali running through the jungle going,
I think I'd just freeze and I'd just die out there.
They're all over the place. I remember waking up because you go to bed with like a tent structure over your bed.
A canopy thing?
Yeah, that's it. And I remember waking up and just opening my eyes. And in front of me with this giant bug. It was a cockroach just looking at me. I didn't want to tell Linda because she'd scream like you. So I flicked it and it shot across.
Oh, God, that's so disgusting. I can't think of anything worse.
But whilst I was out there last time, which was in December, I stayed with Linda's niece and her husband and they run a farm. And one of their outhouses, made of metal with a plastic coating, had become really, really dirty. Because we're out there, I thought,
I'll give it a clean.
So, I mean, you couldn't do it in this country because of the health and safety side of things.
Yeah.
And this wasn't for money. It was doing it for my family. So there's me in the tractor tip. We were lifting me up. I'm spraying it all down.
Oh, my God.
We got it done, though. We got it done.
Not for me. What is one lesson that you have learned throughout your whole career that you still carry with you?
I think there's a couple of them. One of them was when I was in the printing industry.
Yeah.
One of the guys who was in the finishing department, he had a saying.
Yeah.
And I found that saying inspirational. Yeah. Alan used to come out with it and his saying was, never say that's good enough.
Okay.
Now, to me, that's fantastic because when you go on a job,
and
exterior cleaners will all know this, you can be tired by the time you've nearly finished.
Yeah.
Never say that's good enough. Just go that extra mile on it. Make it shine. Make it polish. Then when you bring the customer out and do the walk around, your chin's high.
Yeah.
It's like, look at this, look at this. And they get that sense off you as well. And they love to see that enthusiasm. Yeah. And at the end of it, it's like, oh, this is my exterior cleaner. And they know you've done a good job.
I like that.
Yeah, well, I do as well. Because you then both come away smiling.
Yeah.
How nice is that? Another thing I think is learn your customer's name and use it.
Yeah.
So as quick as you can, get to know the customer's name and start using it. It actually shows a personal interest in them. Yeah. Customers will appreciate that as well. And I suppose it ties in with that first point. Let the customer see your passion for the job. So if they can see that you are wanting to do a good job, at the end of the day, all of us, we want to have a good tradesman that we can call on. So if my customers can see, actually, Paul, in the area that and the services that he offers, he's a good tradesman.
Yeah.
I'll keep getting those phone calls and that's fine. That's nice.
I suppose it makes it more personable, doesn't it?
It does.
I think people like that.
Very much so. It also means that when you ask for Google reviews at the end of a job, of course, no problem.
Yeah, they're more than happy to do it then.
Absolutely. It's genuine. It's not, you know, anything else to it. What also helps in this industry is if you're using Google for getting reviews, make sure that you post a few pictures, maybe a short video of you cleaning a patio or something every week into your photos and video section. It just helps keep your rating up high.
From a social media perspective, I totally agree with that as well, because say if I've gone to look at something like even a hairdresser or anything, if you go to someone's page and they've got no pictures, no videos, it makes you not want to go to them because you don't know what they're offering.
That's right. Yeah. And I suppose if you saw loads and decent pictures, you'd think, actually, they're keen on their
work. Yeah, because you don't know as well if they're not genuine. You don't know if it's a real business sometimes if they've got no pictures.
Yeah.
That's a massive thing that people forget to do. And it's free and easy to do and people forget to do it.
Yeah, very true. So I think that's important. I would then say it then follows on to monitor your lead generation efforts. So if you're new into the industry, you might want to try either Google Ads, you might try using Bark, BARK.com. That's a lead generation system. There's many other ones. But if you do that, just see how much money you're putting into it, see what revenue you get back from it to see if it actually works, and which one works for you, Facebook, whatever it is, then start channeling your efforts into that area. But do monitor it to start with, at least.
Are these all methods that you've used then?
Yes.
So have you used any others as well? Or?
Well, I do that monitoring because it tells me how much I've spent, how much I've gained, and then that gives me what we call an ROI, a return on investment. So I can actually say, that means with Bark, for every £100 I spend, I will get £1,000 worth of revenue.
Yeah.
So that's okay. And you look at it like that, which is quite useful. And then you can compare the different lead generation.
See which one is the best
that's
for you.
That's it. Is leaflets a good one, spending the... Because when you do your leaflets, don't just think of the cost of printing. Think of the time that you're now going to spend going out and doing it. And if you're charging £50 an hour... 3 hours, that's 150 quid just that bit. That time costs more than the leaflets.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of that.
I would also say, and I like to do this, but not everyone would, get to know your fellow tradesmen in either your area or nationally as well.
Yeah.
I'll drive along, and if I see someone in my trade, if I've got the time, I'll stop and have a chat. I did it yesterday. And it turns out to be an old mate of mine, Artan. We ended up hugging. Hello, Artan. Bye. But I think if you do that, you end up getting an interchange of business because they know what you do, you know what they do, and you'll get a phone call saying, hey, Paul, can you do this roof job for us or this, et cetera, et cetera.
Because you work quite collaboratively with a lot of other people, don't you?
I do, actually. Yeah. Funnily enough, there's some really nice guys in the trade local to me.
Yeah.
Max from Prestige and Elite. He started up just after me and I had the privilege of being able to help him with a few bits and pieces, but we've had a nice positive relationship ever since. Max has always given me a buzz every now and then, said, got this job, Paul, do you want to look at it and see if you're interested in it? And that's, I just love that side to it. And then Ash and I, we still work together, which is nice. Owen, who I sort of trained up, he's just bashing it out of the park now. He's getting stuck into it. But we still work together on jobs.
Yeah.
And Kevin, he's the window cleaner in Northampton. Okay. He'll pass over pressure washing jobs and things like that. There's a nice interchange.
You can kind of help each other out then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you'll get a phone call saying, hey, what should I do with this? And
I was thinking about this earlier. So since you've started, was that around COVID time? That was before COVID.
I started in the September before COVID. And my very first roof clean was on the Friday when lockdown kicked in.
Oh, God.
So I was up on the roof and there was nobody in this village.
God, that was crazy. That was so long ago.
Yeah.
But how has competition changed? Has there been an increase in competition since then, would you say?
So I think during COVID, things rapidly expanded in terms of revenue that exterior cleaners were experiencing because everyone's at home, everyone wanted jobs doing. We had a heyday. It was quite incredible, really. I think more people have come into the industry through that and tailing off after. And I'm seeing people are looking for training. They're looking to be taught how to do it and to ramp up their business. Some are struggling with it, but I see more coming into it and getting stuck in. This industry should work for everyone if you can get your business model sorted out at the beginning.
You must have seen people that have started up a business and then they've not carried on with it. And what would you say is the biggest mistake that they've made?
It's great to go out and spend however many thousands on all of the equipment and the van, etc.
Yeah.
But if you haven't got your business plan together in terms of, right, where's my customer base? Where am I going to get customers from? You need to revisit all of that before you spend your money. And, and I've seen people literally go out and spend 11 grand on equipment, not the van, just on the equipment, and then post on social media saying, how should I get my leads? Well done for them for getting involved in the industry, but just have the conversations beforehand and be ready to generate your leads. That would be my suggestion. I might be wrong, but that's what I think.
They're not thinking about the marketing side of things
so much. And we need to.
How would you say the cleaning industry has changed since you started compared to now?
I would say if you were actually to add a few years on from before I started to where I am now, I think it's become much more professional. The equipment is certainly much more advanced because it used to be traditional window cleaning only.
Oh yeah, with the little squeegee.
Yeah. And that has its place. You know, that's still very useful, especially if you're doing internal work. But obviously the water-fed pole side of things has massively expanded. And the suppliers, and there's a number of suppliers in the industry, have really got onto that bandwagon. And they're making very good monies out of supplying very good quality products into it. So I think it's become more professional and the equipment's really, really good now.
Yeah.
How about yourself then, Anjali, if that's all right? So you're in the marketing department.
Yeah.
Right. And what made you get into marketing?
Well, I studied fashion promotion and communication, the longest title ever.
Wow.
At university. So I knew that I enjoyed the more marketing, like social media side of stuff, because there were so many different elements on my course. It was like journalism,
right,
photography, social media, a bunch of other stuff, contextual studies.
Yeah.
So I knew that I enjoyed social media the most, so I kind of wanted to explore that. Mm. And then, I've gone from there.
So social media, what does that mean? Is that like Facebook, Instagram? Or?
At SpinnerClean, I do Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, a bit of YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. So that's my main role. So creating content, editing the content. And then sometimes if we have graphic posts, I'll go to Holly, our graphic designer, and she'll help me make some stuff that I can post as well.
How important is that to the business, do you think?
I think it is pretty important, especially now, because social media is so big. Mm. Maybe 10 years ago it wouldn't have been as important, but when you think about a business, or for me, especially like my generation, the first thing they'll do is go to Instagram, Facebook and look for the company, see how many followers they've got, see what they do. Like that's where they'll find out most of their information.
Yeah.
And then maybe they'll go to the website and find out a bit more.
Right. That's interesting. And actually someone listening to this program and hearing you say that,
yeah,
that's going to help a new person to the industry to think, actually, I need to get on social media.
I think that's one of the main things I mentioned before. Like if you're starting a business, I think you really need to go heavy on the social media, because a lot of people are going to look for your page. And if you're not on Instagram, they might just stop there.
Right.
And then they might not go further with your business because they think, oh, there's no pictures. They've not got a profile. How do I know what they do?
So if you were coming into this industry, what channels of social media would you say to someone to focus in on?
It depends who your target audience is. I'd say for a slightly older generation, maybe like 40s plus, Facebook, I think, is used by 40 plus people the most, maybe even 30 plus.
Right.
So that's the easiest one, where you can add your contact information. Mm-hmm. People can also message you. And Instagram's also important, but that's probably aimed for maybe a bit of a younger audience.
Yeah.
Instagram and Facebook is the main one, but depending on who your target audience is as well, you've got to think about that.
What about TikTok?
TikTok is good, but it wouldn't be the best one to start with. That's more, you want to post your content that you've made, like that's funny, or maybe on a cleaning job if you want to post a bit of close-ups and things like that.
Right.
But I wouldn't say that is as important as Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, that's interesting. So on the Instagrams, you've got options like Reel, Post, etc. What's the difference between those, and which should people be focusing in on if they're new into the industry and wanting to put stuff up?
So with a Reel, it's a video and it can be posted all around Instagram and it gets shared a bit more than a post.
Right.
So if you're scrolling through Reels, it might just randomly pop up on someone's feed, whereas a post might not pop up as much. But with a post, you might have a static post and it could have information on, could be a picture of like your equipment or you on a job or anything like that. But I'd say a post is a bit more informative, whereas a reel is kind of like a short snippet of something that maybe you've done, or it could be about you talking and giving the information. But I'd say it's a bit more like quick, snappy.
Right. Okay. That was very interesting. Thank you. Yeah. Hope that was helpful, everyone. Oh, I'm handing over to Anjali.
We've swapped roles for a minute there. But I hope you've had fun being on the podcast today.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to go back to work in the office now.
Thank you for listening, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. And big thanks to Paul Hickmott. And see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.